Hi everyone, I'm Heather, one of the Youth Services Librarians at Heartland's Crow Mane Library, and today I'm here with Kelsey, our Teen Services Librarian, and Eric, one of our Adult Services Librarians, and we are here to discuss another relic from our childhood. This time, we decided to read The Face on the Milk Carton by Caroline B. Cooney as our nostalgia read. And Eric is thrilled.
I would rather stare at a face on a milk carton for the length of time it took me to read this book than read this book again.
Ooh, that is quite the review.
This was my second time reading this book. I read it way back in middle school. And then I never, so I kind of knew what was going to happen already. But I totally forgot that basically the entire book is her dithering about what she's going to do. And then when she finally does something, the book ends abruptly on that cliffhanger.
Yeah, it was really annoying.
Yeah. I mean, so I went and I read the rest of the series because I wanted to know what was going to happen.
You are so brave.
Well, so in the brave, second so one, they start doing it from other characters' points of view. So it's not all Janie. And that was good.
Yeah. That's always a plus because Janie was just on my nerves.
Oh, Janie was so obnoxious.
So bad feeling that way because I'm like, I don't know. I try to put myself in other people's shoes and be empathetic. And I'm like, what if I found out or believed that I was kidnapped and I wasn't raised by my actual parents? But she was still somehow so annoying about it.
Well, I think part of me was a little bit can't relate. Because she was absolutely loving her high school life. Everything was perfect for her in high school before she saw her face on the milk carton. And that just was not my life.
Yeah, right?
I think that's actually anyone's life.
But yeah. I realized that for the thought that your parents might have kidnapped you to be ultimately upsetting things, you would have to be very happy with your life for you to not want it to change at all. And for you to be that stricken by it. So I understand the writing choice, but Janie got on my nerves.
Yeah, I felt the same way too. I also read this book when I was a kid. I actually loved this series as a kid. Did not love it this time. I only read the first one this time, but I kind of had the same reaction to her being kidnapped because I feel like I used to like fantasize when I, you know, got in trouble or something, like, oh, maybe I'm actually a princess and like my real family is gonna like whisk me away.
So you thought you were in the Princess Diaries.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Oh, legitimately, I wanted to be anyone except who I was when I was in high school. It was not a fun time.
Yeah.
So like if something like that happened and I would be all like, ooh, scapegoat, I can blame all my problems on not my fault.
Yeah, my brothers are 10 and 7 years older than me and they always used to tell me I was adopted, which is believable given that age gap. And I was like, yeah, I hope I am sometimes.
Yeah. Yep. I feel like we all do.
No shade to my parents. I love them. They're great. Right. But when I was 15, I had issues.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. I think we all did. And I think that's just part of like growing up too, is usually you like want to leave the nest as well. So it all makes sense to me, but of course I love my parents too. It's so funny to like look back on those times.
To look back at your jaded teenage years.
Yeah. But like her parents were just like perfect in the book too. Like they never had like any strife or consternation or anything between them. Yeah. Which is probably why I was like, wow, this is like, they're just so they get along well, they never have any problems.
And Janie is like, they're well off, they have a lot of money, so she can do all the hobbies, she can ride horses, she can do this, she can do this. Mm-hmm. And she has no friend problems.
Right,
you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, her mom is like, why don't you take up riding again? And I'm like, what?
Right.
I got to go horseback riding like one time as a kid.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like at summer camp. I went to a summer camp and I rode a horse there. But like,
yeah.
I always wanted to go to summer camp. That's so cool.
I was so jealous of all those kids because there was like, you know, in the 80s and 90s, there was all those commercials for the cool summer camps. And I was like, I can't do that. I just sit at home with my brothers and get yelled at all summer.
Yep. I wanted to go to space camp really bad too.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I just wanted to go to space.
Yeah, also that.
Just not even the camp. I could skip the camp, just send me to space.
Yep. Just shoot us up there. All right, so we all loved this book, clearly. So the cover, which version of the cover did you guys have? I had the one where it's like a black cover and there's a milk carton and it looks like there's a ghost like chilling on the cover.
Yes, that one was the one I had this time. Originally, I had the more like Dayglow 90s cover, the like bright colored, I think it was blue or red.
Red, yeah. I had that one too growing up. I was hoping I could find it, but I couldn't. So I have a library copy.
Yeah. Or I think that the library's copies, the photo on the front is edgier and creepier than the book is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I had both the audiobook because I tag team this. So the audiobook was, I think, the original cover, which was like an actual milk carton kind of thing. But the ebook had that ghosty kind of like wraith in a milk jug kind of cover, which is super cool, actually.
Yeah. It just doesn't make sense for the story because you think you're reading like a creepy. I honestly feel like the original cover was like a fantastic cover.
Yeah, I agree. I think the new one, it's very misleading as to the tone of the book.
Very misleading. It looks like it's trapped in the milk carton. I want to know what's going on there.
Well, yeah. In a way, Janie was trapped in the milk carton because she became obsessed with it.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, gosh. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
She certainly did.
Like,
yeah, I was trying to give grace to her trauma response, but she annoyed me.
Yeah, she was just really unlikable.
Yeah. Mm. And I feel like she's almost more unlikable in the second one.
Mm-hmm.
That's a tough barrier to get over.
Yeah.
I don't know if you want me to talk about the second one or not.
We can talk about the second one.
Yeah, in the second one, she briefly goes to live with her genetic, like her family that she was kidnapped from. Mm-hmm. And we get to hear stuff from her sister Jody's point of view. And I love Jody. Jody's a sweetheart and is also very funny and sassy. And I just really got to love her siblings, but she was being a brat the whole time she was there. She like refused mm-hmm. to answer to her old name and like refused to, you know, and I get that they're strangers that you're living with, but she was like deliberately cruel at several parts.
That's terrible. And it's not her siblings' fault that
it's not like Janie and Jenny are that far apart even. It's right. Basically one letter.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you spell it the ridiculous way she decided to change it to with two Y's.
Yeah, Jane. Oh, yeah.
Because yeah. She's unique and she's special.
Yeah, but just it was, and as you go through the four books, it does get better. She does end up recognizing that she was a brat.
Mm-hmm.
And like building good relationships with her biological family. And I really think they just should have smushed it all into one book because all the books are so little and thin and they all end on stupid cliffhangers.
Stupid cliffhangers.
Stupid cliffhangers.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Like I was half rooting for this whole story to be her just like losing her grip on reality and she wasn't kidnapped and then it ends and you still don't really know, at least in the first book. Like, they treat it as if it's a foregone conclusion that she really was kidnapped, but I was just like, she could still be crazy and having these like fake false memories, which I think would be kind of cool too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. And I just realized we haven't even told the synopsis of this book. So yeah, I know, right? That's totally fine. We'll tell it right now. So this one I pulled from our good friend Goodreads, and it says, the face on the milk carton looks like an ordinary little girl, hair in tight pigtails, a dress with a narrow white collar, a three-year-old who was kidnapped more than 12 years ago from a shopping mall in New Jersey. As 15-year-old Janie Johnson stares at the milk carton, she feels overcome with shock. She knows that little girl is she, but how could it be true? Janie can't believe that her loving parents kidnapped her until she begins to piece together clues that don't make sense. Why are there no pictures of Janie before she was four? Her parents had always said they didn't have a camera. Now, that explanation sounds feasible. Something is terribly wrong, and Janie is afraid to find out what happened more than 12 years ago. In this gripping page-turner, the reader will unravel, as Janie does, the twisted events that change the lives of two families forever.
I thought you were just going to end the reader will unravel as Janie does, end right there.
I know.
End that sentence.
Because I feel like it is just true. we did kind of unravel. She came in like a wrecking ball. Did you guys pull any like articles or anything? Like, did you find any other info on this book?
No, I just read all of them.
I mean, that's some good info. I did pull up like a couple of articles right before we started. And we have this book called Paperback Crush, which I mention pretty frequently. I love this book, but of course, Carolyn B. Cooney was such like a force in the 90s. I feel like pretty much everybody that was a reader tended to read her. And this, the part about the face on the milk carton is chapter 6, Danger, Tragedy, Taboo, Topics, and Other Tough Stuff. And there's just a short little blurb. The moment when Janie Johnson sees her own childhood photo on a missing child alert on the side of a milk carton, it's indelibly printed on the memory of this generation of readers. Janie's sudden realization that there's more to her life than what her older, mysterious parents have told her is famous, not just because it's such a unique and evocative instance of horror. It's also a moment that perfectly sums up this particular 80s zeitgeist. In Janie Johnson's milk carton moment, as well as her subsequent discovery that she was not the Johnsons' biological daughter, but in fact had been kidnapped from her birth family by the Johnsons' unstable biological daughter, Hannah, Cooney depicted on the page the dominant parental panic of the era, as well as helped untangle the fear for readers. Which I feel like kind of explains why this was so popular. Like, digging into this book a little more, I was shocked to discover that it had actually won like a bunch of awards. It won the Colorado Blue Spruce Book Award, the Pacific Northwest Library Association Young Readers' Choice Award, and the Iowa Teen Book Award.
That's so strange to me.
I know.
This book felt like at times, like, you know that famous meme, I fed an AI 1,000 whatevers?
Yes!
This felt like to me reading it, how nonsensical some of the things in it were, like a ChatGPT version of like a teen novel. Like, we fed an AI 1,000 teen novels and this is what it came out with, because some of the things, like, can we talk about when they go to the football game and their tailgate?
Oh my God.
And their tailgate, I actually quoted it. A leg of lamb, wine, wild rice, a sheet cake, potato salad, coleslaw, macaroni salad, and fried chicken. Like, that is not a thing a human being brings to a tailgate.
Yeah, I was like, is this a rich people thing? Because I know that they're supposed to be like in a rich neighborhood, but you're bringing lamb?
Right.
And later on, like, they brought the sheet cake into the football game. So they're just sitting in the stand. Like, this is a computer.
And they had to eat it with their hands because they didn't bring anything.
Yeah,
so weird.
Also, her little friend Sarah Charlotte, so annoying.
Oh my gosh, yes.
All her friends.
What name
annoying.
Is that? That's not a real name.
Yeah, it's a fancy name. It's a fancy.
I think
name.
Maybe that's why I ended up really liking Jody in the second book. Is she makes fun of all of those things that annoyed me? She's like, she points out the, oh wow, so the Johnsons are rich, huh? So, oh, Sarah Charlotte, ugh. Like, I think that's why I ended up liking her.
That's awesome. And that actually makes me want to continue the series. I kind of do anyway, just because it ended on such a cliffhanger. And the book I had, it had like a first chapter, like a lot of books too, of like the next novel.
Mm-hmm.
But I discovered it was from a different point of view. And I was like, no, what happened like immediately?
Well, yeah. You do. It still does have Janie's point of view, but it like alternates.
Oh, gotcha.
Between Janie, Jody, and then Reeve, who is Janie's boyfriend, slash boy next door, slash he doesn't want Janie to talk. He wants action.
Oh, man. He was so creepy.
Creepy.
She's
so
like
creepy.
Crying, and he keeps trying to make out with her.
He's
it's
so
weird.
And he was like getting mad at her because she was conflicted about getting in touch with her family, telling her parents that she knew. Like, of course she would be conflicted, especially if your life was as perfect as Janie's was.
It's like, they kiss one time in the leaves, and then he is just constantly talking about, like, here's a quote that I highlighted in my Kindle. Anybody less interested in sex and romance than you would be hard to imagine, Janie. You're a little scary. You're like this hard, sharp, pointed thing. And I'm just like, you kissed one time at this point.
Yeah.
And then you ignored her for like a week after.
Right.
Am I allowed to spoiler later books for you here with
Reeve? Please do.
Yeah.
So when Reeve goes to college, he decides he wants to work in radio. So he does a radio show where he literally talks all about Janie and her insecurities and how crappy she was to her real family. And it calls them, he calls it doing a Janie. So he does a whole radio show about her without her permission, without telling her or anyone in her family. Yeah, it was like all of the horrible things about like when people do really, really bad sensationalized true crime. Yeah, only all of his girlfriend's private thoughts that she told him when she was having a freaking breakdown.
Welcome to Gaslight Island, the new show.
Who does that? Like, even to someone you dislike, but someone you purport to love, and it's like your
significant other. Apparently Reeve. Apparently this guy.
I couldn't understand at all why Janie was attracted to him. I actually kept getting, like, Sweet Valley High vibes from the relationship.
They also go out of their way to say how dumb he is.
Yeah.
And then they walk it back a little, and he goes, I started trying, so now I'm not dumb.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But like, gosh, he's self-centered jerk and he's kind of a creep.
Yeah.
And then you find out that Janie is also a full year younger than she thought she was, because they guessed her age wrong and Hannah dropped her off.
Yeah.
So that means that Reeve's 18 and she's 14.
Which is just a whole nother.
I think she was turning 16.
Well, yeah, but she was actually turning 15 because she was a year younger.
Yeah.
Yeah, but like nobody knew that
he had like moved on within 5 days because they were like slut shaming a girl that went to their
Jessica or whatever her name was.
Oh yeah, he's a lot of socially cringe stuff.
Yeah, one of the things I thought was really funny, well, funny, just, oh, I wonder what that could mean, was Janie is lactose intolerant. So, which was like throughout the book, they kept talking about her being like lactose intolerant. So she would have never come across this like milk carton unless she was with her friends who were drinking milk in the cafeteria. And also, I feel like that's kind of dated, but yes, in the 90s, we totally used to drink like cartons of milk at lunch. And now thinking about that, I'm just like, ew.
That whole first like chapter or second chapter or whatever it was when they're in the cafeteria was just... like, was that paid for by the U.S. Dairy Association? Because she just keeps saying, I have this peanut butter sandwich. I need milk. The only thing that goes with peanut butter is milk. I can't have this fruit milk. I need milk. And she must say milk so many times that it became one of those gross words that I never want to hear again.
Yeah.
It's like my version of moist, which does not bother me, but now milk does.
And you listened to the audiobook on Hoopla, right? Oh, and my gosh. Just, the performer. I listened to the audiobook for part of it because I was listening to it while driving to a library and conference thingy. And yes, just this older woman and the way she kept saying, I need to have milk. And you're just like,
it was so skeevy and gross.
It's whole narration was weird. That's why I couldn't finish the book listening to her narration. I was like, no, we're turning you off. I'm reading it myself. Sorry.
Did you just start like laughing when she kept saying that?
I think I was making weird faces, like driving alone, just making weird faces.
Yeah.
I became nauseous. I was driving home from here yesterday afternoon and I left here so hungry for dinner. And when I got home, I was like, I can no longer eat unless I have milk.
Yeah. We need to go to the store because I don't usually drink milk.
The hard K too. She over enunciated that.
Oh, perfect.
Like, I don't know what accent she had or whatever it was, but she over enunciated every single word.
Yeah. And like, didn't speaking of milk, the thing that like modern kid readers probably wouldn't know is there really did used to be like faces on the side of the milk cartons. They really did, because like the cartons were in like schools, they were everywhere. So like you would definitely get eyes on them. And kiddos got to remember the internet wasn't really a thing like back then. It was just in its like kind of beginning stages. So like to spread news and stuff, they would just hit the newspapers or hit the milk cartons.
Yeah,
I'm curious to see how modern readers like react to that.
Yeah, they also had they had microfiche at the library. Mm-hmm. So when she was looking up articles about the kidnapping, she had to do it on the microfiche.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. It was interesting too, as the series goes on, the new technology that started, because by the fourth one, she has a cell phone.
Mm-hmm.
Whoa.
Oh, really?
Yeah. By the fourth one, she has a cell phone. Mm-hmm. She's the only one who has a cell phone because she has two overprotective sets of parents.
Of course.
For obvious reasons.
So yeah.
Yeah. And I think that's interesting too, that by the fourth book, it's like technology just really changed rapidly, like in the 90s and the early 2000s. It's hard to like really even articulate it, but it's interesting that like the progression was shown in the series.
But when she wanted to use the internet, they had to go to a library or an internet cafe to go on the internet.
Which was totally real life. That really was like what we had to do.
So they went to the university library to go on the internet.
Super cool.
Yeah.
One of the other things that drove me crazy about Janie was she was constantly like daydreaming about the future. And in the first chapter already, she's dreaming about her future kids' denim and lace.
Somebody should preemptively call CPS on her for that.
Yeah, well, and it actually said that using these names would be grounds for divorce. Which I thought was
super weird.
Not lacy, like lace.
sorry if anyone, if this somehow ends up being listened to by someone whose name is denim and or lace.
We love that for you.
Yeah, I'm sure it works for you.
Was your parent a fan of this book?
Yeah.
Or you, if you picked the name, are you a fan of this book? Answer in the comments, denim and lace.
Yeah, let us know what you think.
I'm going to name my child Carolyn B. Cooney, all one word.
Oh, perfect. It's a lot of syllables.
Mm-hmm. They'll never be able to fill out any kind of standard forms.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. And of course, Janie discovers it's her picture on the milk carton. So it's a good thing. Like her friends were drinking the milk because she couldn't drink it.
But then she does anyway and has no repercussions from her lactose intolerance.
Mm-hmm.
They also, they never say lactose intolerance. They call it a milk allergy.
Yeah.
The whole time. A milk allergy. And I'm just like, you're lactose intolerant. That's what it is. Please say that and not milk allergy.
I think they do like the very first time they bring it up. Like she says, I'm lactose intolerant, which means I can't have milk or ice cream. And then that's the only time they actually say that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think, because I wrote lactose intolerant too. So yeah, and then I think it did just refer to her like milk energy that she derives from milk, her allergy too. It refers to her milk allergy. I was obsessed with like the 90s fashion. There was like a jeans jacket and a permanent, which of course is a perm, but like perms were the thing back in the 80s and 90s too. So, but I feel like it's kind of coming back around. So that part wouldn't be as dated like for the kids to read. Like I feel
they
like
mentioned, they mentioned swatches in the second one.
Swatch watch.
Really?
Legit, they do.
I love that so much.
Janie has so many of them because she's rich.
Mm-hmm. Of course she does.
Yeah, she has so many.
Yeah, and I also think it's interesting. Well, we also find out her real name is Jenny Spring, but I feel like it's interesting that like a suppressed memory comes up. The first one we find where she's eating ice cream with someone that she doesn't remember. So did the allergy develop after she was kidnapped? Like,
I think they say that she like recently learned that she had the allergy.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
And that's why she was being all like pouty about not being allowed to have milk.
Oh, that makes sense. I wouldn't be mad
at the one imperfect thing in her perfect world.
Right.
Milk allergy.
How sad.
So sad. They also talked about Janie was not taken by the Johnsons, who she thought were her parents, but by their daughter, Hannah, who had joined a cult.
Yes.
Hare Krishnas.
The yeah. Hare Krishnas. I listened to this podcast. I think it's the one that sounds like a cult one that I listened to. I listened to a couple, but I think it was on that one. They actually did a whole show on the Hare Krishnas. There's murder and intrigue and all kinds of things.
Kidnapping, apparently.
Kidnapping, yes. Yeah, which also I feel like kind of plays into like the parental fears, like Paperback Crush was referring to, like, oh, what if our daughter like gets kidnapped? And the Satanic Panic was like happening then too, and like sucked into this cult and she's brainwashed and like all of these things. So that was interesting. I did not remember the cult at all from my childhood reading of this book.
I didn't remember. I remember that she had been stolen by like the daughter and that there was something wrong with the daughter, mm-hmm. but I didn't remember the cult part, like neither the cult name or that she was in a cult. I just knew that she was like not right in the head.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they never really define that. They just say that she's a troubled individual.
Yeah. And I was surprised that they like named the cult too, mm-hmm. or is it a cult or religion, you know, like that kind of thing. But mm-hmm. I was very surprised to like see that in there as well.
Yeah.
I loved how New Jersey became like just what they called the whole situation and mm-hmm. how many crazy quotes there are, which are kind of like appropriate for New Jersey. I can say this being someone from there. New Jersey must vanish. What else was there? She surfaced from New Jersey because she keeps like blacking out and like obsessing over it. Mm-hmm. Reeve, I want them to not exist. New Jersey, I mean, which I guess fair. The carton falling out, her parents seeing it, New Jersey exposed and waiting.
Yeah.
If New Jersey hadn't happened, thought Janie, I wouldn't have my own parents or my house or school or Sarah Charlotte or Reeve. If I ever get in touch with New Jersey, I'll have to say, luckily for me, I got kidnapped, which also fair. What's my favorite one? She had thought nothing could be more painful than New Jersey.
Which totally reminds me of some of my friends that like are from New York. Like, this is like a random side note, but I was once visiting my friend's brother in NYC with my friend, and we were going to his wife's family house in New Jersey, and my friend in the back seat was just going, New Jersey, the whole time we were driving.
Oh, here's another good one. I can't tell you how tired I am of New Jersey.
That one was Reeve.
That one was Reeve saying that, yeah.
That's who gotta is be. A jerk. Because he wanted less talk, more action.
Yeah.
Oh God, said, it was so cringy every time he's going. She's like, Janie talks so much.
Yeah.
I don't want to talk.
Because she's going through a traumatic experience, fam. And she's yeah. trying to talk about it with her safe person.
Yeah. And you're a jerk.
Yeah. Also, P.S. We don't like you.
Yeah.
Here's another gem I just found from him in my quotes. Reeve said, I'd settle for any sexual habit at all, Janie. And there's one about his teeth.
Yep.
I wish you'd pay more attention to other parts of me than my teeth.
Yeah.
He is just constantly on the prowl.
Yeah, legit. He just.
And like half the time she's crying libido. Or just like having a psychotic break about being right. kidnapped as a child.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I was like, how are you?
Hmm. Yeah. Janie, this is like not a good relationship.
Can you spoil that? Does she end up with him in the end?
Okay, she does. And then they break up because she finds out about the radio show.
For good? Or do they?
No, they get back together at the end.
Of course.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Come on, man.
And her sister hates it. Her sister is like, I swear to God, if you get back with him, like, don't even.
Don't like, talk to me. Yeah.
She's like, if you get back together with him. No.
Good for
but then
sister.
after an entire book of like hating him, but then being polite about it because they decide not to tell any of the parents what he did. So the mm-hmm. parents are why? Like, oh, they just had a kid break up. They were too clingy on each other. So they don't tell any parents how horrible it was.
Oh my
Janie God. Eventually tells the Spring Mom, and mm-hmm. the Spring Mom is a trooper. I like the Springs as characters more than anyone in the first book. Mm-hmm. Saying that right now. But even she's like, yeah, you shouldn't be with him, but you can forgive him if you want to. And I'm like, why don't You don't need to, though.
No, don't do that. He's the worst.
Why'd you do that?
Yeah. Oh, there was also, in addition to all of that wonderful stuff with relationship dynamics, there was some fat phobia mixed in. Janie and her mom are taking a cake decorating class, and they can't stop talking about calories. Everyone in the room doesn't seem to care about calories. I feel like that was an exact quote. And her mom said she likes it because she's the second skinniest person there besides me.
Oh, the 90s.
Oh, the 90s. Yeah. And there was also, so there were like just terrible similes and metaphors like throughout as well.
Yes. One of
the ones I wrote down, I wrote the similes metaphors are something. She dials a number, blah, blah, blah. The direct quote was, "You have to destroy the demon, dot, 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 ellipses. Or maybe it's just premenstrual syndrome."
Mm-hmm. "The sun fondled her lovingly" was one that I wrote down.
Oh, God.
There's something about bear arms or strength or something like that. I have to find it.
Oh.
Oh, yeah. Was that like her dad hugging her or something?
Oh, she hugged her mother ferociously, feeling the strength of wrestlers in her arms. This is why I said, like, this sounds like an AI wrote it, because no human being writes sentences like this.
It does. And the fact that this, like, won awards, that's what I can't get over.
I'm wondering, is Carolyn Bica, is she alive?
I don't know. I feel like I need to have chat with her, though.
I'm going
to
peek. I'm going to peek and see if she's dead. Oh, that sounded bad.
Do. Yeah. Oh, there's like other stuff as well. There's just so much like stupid foreshadowing. I'm going to say it, stupid foreshadowing in this book. Like Janie starts thinking about her birth certificate because they want to go on this ski trip. And then Janie's teacher asks if she's having an identity crisis because she's spelling her name differently. Yes, she is. In fact.
Actually, you are on the nose.
Yep.
Okay, she's so alive.
Right.
She's 75. She was born in the 40s.
Oh, okay. You know, I feel like that actually makes sense.
We should have tried to get her on the podcast. What's she doing these days?
I don't know. I'm sure being 75?
Yeah, being 75. Living the dream.
Yeah, let's see.
Oh,
hold on. Is she still writing things?
Really?
She's still writing things.
Really?
But for adults.
Yeah, I used to read her all the time. So I'm curious about like some of her other titles that I used to read as well. Like if they're as not great.
She has a book coming out in this May for adults.
All right.
The Wrong Good Deed. And her last book was called The Grandmother Plot.
All right.
About murder in a nursing home.
Nice. Oh, so we finally do. Oh, one of the things I thought was like interesting in this book as well is she was surprised like that even though they didn't have a camera, that there were no photographs. Because like one of the things modern readers won't know either because they just don't have memory is like we didn't always have like cameras on our phones even when like we had a cell phone. But also, I feel like literally everyone used to get professional, I'm using that term loosely, photos done at like JCPenney
for Christmas.
My parents still have one where like my brother's sitting in front and it's like my face hovering behind him.
We recently created some mall photos, some mall family photos over Thanksgiving. That's my parents awesome. Were like, these photos, we want to redo them. But of course we recreated them at our house and my fiance took the photos.
That's awesome. I love that. I know it's kind of like trending on TikTok too, as people are doing like a silly photo shoot at JCPenney as well. But that was like legit. That was serious business back in the 90s. So that was one of the things that surprised Janie too. Like you didn't even have like professional photos taken of me. Like that's really weird because they are clearly very wealthy. And I know that she said like they weren't wealthy like when they had her, but
they were. Though.
I don't know.
She just doesn't realize it because she's got the privilege. She's not there.
She's living in her bubble.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, and they find out that the parents actually have secrets of their own as well.
Their last name isn't Johnson, it's Javinson. So that I thought was interesting too, because it's like, okay, well, if you like don't have anything to hide, and I remember Janie saying like, I'm surprised they didn't see this in like the newspaper or something, because it would have been a huge news story that this child had gone missing. It's weird that like her parents weren't looking at any sort of media, because that was how we got our information back then, was either like the nightly news or like a newspaper. So it's like she was almost there, like she was almost there, but she didn't quite like get there.
Yeah. And they said that they were like, they didn't see the news because they were changing their names and hiding from the cult.
They were like, obsessed with their daughter coming back, I think. And then they changed their names because the daughter went back to the cult and they didn't want the cult to find them or something.
Yeah, it was because the daughter, Hannah, said that Janie was her daughter. And so they thought that if she was born in the cult, her dad might still be in the cult and the cult might want to try to get the baby back. That's for the 3-year-old back. Okay. So that's why they wanted to, they did all of that. And that's why they didn't have her birth certificate or anything like that for her to get a driver's license. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to do another spoiler for late in the series.
Please do.
But it turns out, so they all say that we don't know what happened to Hannah. No one's been in contact with her. Well, Mr. Johnson has a heart attack.
Oh, no.
And when he's in the hospital, or maybe it was a stroke, I don't remember. He's in the hospital and Janie is going through his files to do like the bills and stuff, because the mom didn't do that. had no say in it at all. But it turns out that the dad had been sending checks to the kidnapper, Hannah, and had been in contact with her.
What?
Yeah. And what, so the whole last book is literally about, it turns out that Hannah had been living in a town in Colorado where her biological brother is actually going to college. And so they say they want to visit him and go out there. Janie's trying to decide whether she wants to confront her kidnapper or not. And that's the whole.
Wait, but Janie's biological brother?
Yeah, Jenny Springs' brother.
Oh.
Yeah. Her older brother that she didn't know existed.
What? Yeah.
With the big feet, apparently.
Yeah, yeah, big feet brother. That's him. Stefan or Steven. I read it in my head, not in an audio. Sorry, that was not a good sentence.
You're okay. I knew like the parents, like at least one of them.
It would fit right in with this book.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the dad was shady. The dad knew where the kidnapper was and was still sending her money. He cut off contact when he found out she had kidnapped the kid and it wasn't hers, but he kept sending her the money. So
that's wild.
Yeah. And the mom didn't know about it. And they never tell the mom about it. Yeah.
Wow. I feel bad for the mom in this scenario. I don't really feel bad. Well, I feel bad for the Spring family too, because that was but I
love the Springs. They were nice.
Yeah.
They kind of reminded me of my family. So
yeah, they seem like just a big, like, even as her memory started coming back, like, it just seemed like the house was just, like, fun and chaotic and loving and, like, really lived in and that sort of thing, so.
It's very true.
Like, I like the little mention of, like, the prayer or whatever the dad made them say before dinner just so he could get his kids to shut up for a couple minutes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. The Springs are cute. They are really how I got through the rest of the series, I'll be honest.
Yeah, I kind of want to read it just to see like a little more from their perspective. So maybe I'm just a glutton for punishment. It's hard to say.
I read it all in one weekend. They're all super short.
Okay.
And every single one of them ends on a stupid cliffhanger, except the last one, because it was the last one, but, you know.
Awesome. I love that. And I feel like, too, one of our previous ones, we were doing R.L. Stein, and I think they did cliffhangers and, like, kept the book shorter just because it would keep, like, readers more engaged as well, like, in the 90s. I feel like we read an article like that. Do you remember this, Eric?
And I think that just became like a formula that probably everybody just copied.
Yeah. And I mean, it worked because these people have sold like millions and millions of books.
Yeah, it's still in print. I was just on Carolyn B. Cooney's website, and the milk carton is still her like icon, even though that book came out in 1990 and she's done countless since.
Right. And probably better things as well. Because I feel like
about that too.
Yeah, she also wrote like some of the point horror books, which are like the R.L. Stine, Christopher Pike. There was like actually we discovered a separate like point horror series. And I know she was one of the authors in that one as well. So I'm curious. I've got to dive back into point horror too, just side note. So maybe one of her books will be the next one I read in that series.
Yeah, I wonder about that with authors. Do you ever like if you have one of your early books like catch fire and you're almost always known for that, but you've like improved as a writer? Is it embarrassing for you? Like,
yeah, that would be something I would definitely want to ask her. Like, because Erica's like, oh, let's bring it on the podcast. I'm like, no, but really, like, what do you think about this book now, like with time and perspective, and even like the committees that chose it as the winner? Like, I'm just curious what they think about it now, like with just different time and perspective.
I guess the good thing to look back at something like this is to see how far literature for this age group has come.
Oh, yeah. 100%. Yeah. They're so lucky.
They're so lucky. So much luckier. Maybe I would have liked reading if, you know, the books of today were coming out when I was 13.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of things like this.
Yeah. Speaking of Reed being terrible, I don't think we mentioned this part yet, but maybe we did and I'm just not thinking of it, but when they were coming back from New Jersey, he was like, there's still time to get a motel.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was like, really? Like,
it was really gross.
Yeah, that's where you're like at right now. Like, she's deeply traumatized. Yeah,
she just saw people who look undeniably like her that are her biological family, and he's like, want to start a biological family?
Yeah. And she's like, yeah, I do.
So, does your trauma make you
so terrible? And I don't know if that was just a horrible caricature of a teenage boy. Like, I guess. Like,
yeah, because I feel like, even, you know, I've never been a teenage boy, but I did have like boyfriends when I was a teenager, and I feel like if like not even like my like worst boyfriend would have done, you know, something like that.
Any of these things?
Yeah, right.
Right. Terrible. So bad.
Yeah, I did think it was interesting after like the parents revealed the secret to Jamie, like, yes, this is what happened, that the dad suggested they go to family counseling. I don't think they ended up going, but it was nice that he suggested it.
Yeah. They really should have. They dunk on they counseling a lot in this, honestly.
Yeah.
And I was like, you need it though.
Mm-hmm.
It's good. Get a brain doctor.
Yeah, well, and it's like, even going back to how Reeve was quote unquote like stupid because he was probably just going to be a plumber, that was totally like the thing in the 90s too. Like, all of us were pushed into like college. Like, it wasn't even a choice in the 90s and the early 2000s. And it's like, maybe college isn't the be all end all. Maybe trade school is good.
Like,
maybe.
Yeah, even my dad was like a contractor, carpenter, and even he was like, yeah, go to college so you don't have to do this.
That was
just like such a prevalent opinion. Mm-hmm. And he made like an okay living.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. Same. My mom did like insurance kind of things. And my dad worked on the line at GM for like years and years too, but they were always very adamant because that's, you know, back then that did make you like more successful. Now it's like the equivalent to a high school diploma, I feel like, but back then, like, it really did make a difference if you went to college. So it just really bugged me that they were like, oh, he's just dumb, he's going to be a plumber. It's like, well, we need plumbers just as much as we need like teachers and nurses. And like, we need all of these things to make society function.
Legit.
Yeah. Oh, one of the things I thought was funny was like, Janie wrote that letter and then addressed it and then lost it. It's like, clearly, you know, that's going to happen. Like, why would you address it if you weren't planning on sending it?
I forgot who what is who said it to, who is like, you subliminally wanted to send the letter and that's why you did it, mm-hmm. to make yourself make a choice. So just call now.
I think it was Reeve.
Call your biological family.
Yeah.
There were several like sections of this book that I had to go back and reread slash listen to because I was like, did I miss something? And that was one of them where I was like, wait, did she mail the letter? What is this oddly written passage right here?
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. Also when she like first decided that she was abducted, I was like, I think I missed something. I must have missed something. And I didn't. It was just very oddly written.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think you missed anything because I'm like looking back at my notes too. There was just the writing, it just really wasn't great. Like it just really wasn't, because sometimes
the passage of time was very odd in several areas. Like,
yeah, I agree, because I feel like even the I love you between Reeve and Janie came like really quickly, but I don't know how much time actually passed.
Yeah,
there was one line where she's like, I've been sitting on this since October, and I was like, well, what month is it now?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
it could have been like 2 weeks or like 3 months. Like, there's no indication of what's going on.
Yeah,
it is weird. But like, oh man, like in the third book, Janie's like, I'm planning my wedding. I'm like, what the heck?
Why?
You're how old? What? Stop.
Yeah, please don't.
I like also after their trip to New Jersey, when they get busted for going to New Jersey, that like it seems like it's right after that her and Reeve are making a joke to her parents about going to Vermont, and I'm like, too soon, bro. It's like 3 days later.
Right. Reeve is just the worst. Oh, I just realized too, there's more fat phobia kind of stuff as well, because Janie was saying how like she couldn't eat for weeks, and in addition to sending her to like regular counseling, she'll also be forced to go to anorexia counseling because she can't eat. It's just this is why we grew up with like the issues that we did as well. I really do feel like media like played a role. I'm so glad there are so many more like body positive books out, so hopefully young people don't have to have the same struggles that we did. Oh, I thought too, it was interesting that one of the reasons Janie was like hesitant to kind of tell or call the other family was she didn't want her parents to get in trouble. And she discusses this with them too. And she said, in their place, I'd move heaven and earth to ruin the people responsible, which I think would be like a normal parents' reaction to this, even if she like tried to explain what happened. Like, it was actually our daughter who was part of this cult. She like dropped her off. She said it was her child. So we like took care of this as if it was like our child. We really didn't know. But I'm glad at least like she did have a little bit of a dilemma, like in that way.
Yeah.
Or just like real world consequences. Yeah. I really just loved like all the old tech in here. Like, there was one where they were like renting movies and playing Trivial Pursuit. There was a phone book on a chain, a payphone. There was like a phone throughout, but I feel like modern readers might think it was like a cell phone that kept ringing, but no, that was a wall phone. Like, that was totally a wall phone that was like ringing throughout the house. There was just a lot of-
I think they brought over a Jason movie during the Trivial Pursuit scene.
I think they did too. So characters 1 to 5, what would you rate them?
2.
Yeah, I think 2's pretty good. Yeah, like I say, I think that there's some 3s later on in the series, but everybody in this book.
Yeah, they were not great.
Yeah.
Dated pop culture references.
3.
Yeah, I think that's fair. There were like enough where it pinged my radar, but like maybe I was so miserable by the rest of the book that they didn't like put me into good nostalgia mood.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, what did I say? The magazines too were a big thing, whereas I feel like teens today, it's on TikTok. They don't call them magazines.
Yeah, I think I'd give it a 4 just because we had like a card catalog, we had payphones, we had like a phone book, we had
microfiche.
Yeah, microfiche, we had video cassettes. What do you think of the plot, 1 to 5?
I feel like the actual things happening were intriguing, but I think it's just the fact that the characters were annoying. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah. It's an interesting situation. It was just the execution that was kind of...
I agree wholeheartedly, which is maybe why I disliked it so much, because like I see the potential for a really good book here, mm-hmm. but it was like a 1.5 to 2 just because the characters were annoying and everything was like, I don't know. I still feel like she should have been an unreliable narrator more so than just we're forced to take at face value that like she is reliable and all of these memories are real. There's no... I don't know, just poor execution. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And even at the end, when it's like that abrupt cliffhanger, you're like, I guess it all was true. Mm-hmm. And these memories are real, but she seems like there are points in the book where she's just like blacking out for hours at a time, seemingly. And you're just like, well, wait, why am I supposed to believe these memories are real? Mm-hmm. There's no evidence outside of her saying like, I remember I had a sister named Jody, but you never find out if that's true. A dog named Honey. You're like, you could just be making this up.
Right.
Oh, they never confirm Honey. They never mention him in any of the other books.
Amazing.
All right.
Obviously Jody they confirm, but they never confirm Honey. I forgot about him.
Yeah, I would agree. This book, it was such a great idea, but like the execution was just like such a big fail for me. It, which is so disappointing because like the idea and the plot was like an intriguing one. And like the author's note in the beginning, I was like, all right, this makes sense. Like it's preying on parents' fears and like real life fears that are happening right now. It was just something.
And the pacing too, that literally it started right away. She sees the milk carton and then it's all just her trying to make up her mind for the whole book.
Yeah.
And then she picks up the phone. And so before we actually see what any of the consequences were or like what exactly happened, the book is over.
Yeah. So and we can say she writes a good cliffhanger.
It almost just felt like it was unfinished rather than a cliffhanger. I felt like the whole first book was a prologue.
Yeah. I agree. It was very frustrating, honestly. I left feeling frustrated because I do want to find out what happens, but I don't want to keep reading it.
Yeah. Yep.
All right. Do you feel like other 80s and 90s kids should read this one?
I don't feel like many people should read this one.
I feel like there are other things I'd recommend first.
Yeah.
Same. Way more. Like anything by R.L. Stine.
Yeah.
Anything else we've read in this podcast. Yeah. I feel like this might be my least favorite thing I've read in a long time.
Yeah. I think Sweet Valley High is still my least favorite.
Oh yeah, that was bad.
That was a bad one. Yeah, but this is like neck and neck, like running neck and neck. Do you think modern kids would enjoy this?
No.
Yeah, I was about to say I could see maybe one or two finding it interesting as a novelty, but I couldn't see any of them reading through the whole series.
Yeah, I think they just make fun of us for like enjoying this as kids.
Yeah, especially there was a more recent release, I think it was 2018, a book called In Another Life by C.C. Hunter, which I haven't gotten the chance to read it yet, so I don't know if it's good or not, but it has a very similar plot where in this one, it's a girl who knows she was adopted, but she meets someone who says that she looks just like the missing daughter of one of his foster parents.
Interesting.
So it's kind of a very similar plot. I would maybe say try that one first. I haven't read it yet, though, so it could be utter garbage.
Take that recommendation with a grain of salt.
Exactly. I just remember, like, I remember when I was, like, shelving and going through it, and I was looking at it, and I was like, oh, this sounds like the same plot as The Face on the Milk Carton, but, like, 2018.
Mm-hmm. So. I would hope that it's better now. I feel like this might also be why we went to adult books so quickly, like, just doing all these rereads. It's like, oh, yeah, because the kids books, they just weren't it like back then. The adult books were just like better, so that's why we read like above our levels. That's what I'm thinking. Yeah. Or our levels, I mean like our age group, like well above our age group.
Yeah,
what we should have been reading.
Stephen King was really the first author that wasn't a choose your own adventure kind of author that I read
Yeah, I started reading Stephen King in, I think, 7th or 8th grade. And it's really funny because one of the tweens in our program last night was like, my mom won't let me read Stephen King. And I was like, what grade are you in? And she's like, I'm in 6th. And I was like, yeah, I'm not going to tell you like one way or the other. But what I will tell you is I started reading Stephen King in like 7th grade. Was that a good idea? I don't know, but that's what we did.
Yeah. I read like 3 Christopher Pike books and then it was immediately just Stephen King.
Yes. Yep. Yeah. Cause I went through like the Fear Street books when I was 8, like when a normal kid would be reading Goosebumps, cause Goosebumps wasn't scary enough for me. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I was so advanced. No, I liked certain things. Say, do you have any final thoughts?
Meh. All right. That's so articulate.
I think that's a perfect note to end this on.
Yes. Meh. This was meh. Thank you so much for joining us. We'll be back soon with another read or movie. Until next time, bye.
Bye.